For the past two decades, CJSF 90.1 FM has been the game-changing radio station people have tuned in to listen, share, discuss, and celebrate. From authors, actors, and entertainers to journalists, business leaders, and sports figures, CJSF has welcomed esteemed guests giving you the best in music, news, and spoken word, undoubtedly changing the sound of community radio since 2003. CJSF, diverse, independent, yours.
Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Got a light? It's time for Smokes.
Welcome to the Smokes episode, folks, where everything life is good is worth discussing. I'd like to introduce our host, and we have a new host with us today. We got good old boy Mike with us.
I'm here again.
I think it sucks.
We got good old boy Justin.
Good morning.
We got good old boy Nate.
Why, hello there.
And then we got a new member, good old boy Benjamin.
Thanks for the applause. Long time listener, first time caller, guys. Thanks for
having me. Yeah, so tell me about your life. Yeah.
We don't have that kind of time.
That's right. Well, as you know, we're the best thing on at 2 a.m. right before Small Spaces, host of Andre the Giant. And just after those infomercials of stuff that never works. Infomercials. It's a hard word to say sometimes.
As you know, interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
That's right. As you know, I hope you know, our smoke segments are all about cigars and, well, anything that's smoked. Sometimes. For today's segment, drum roll, please.
Yep. I don't have a drum roll.
We are talking about...
There's no drum roll on my board.
We are going to be discussing the PCA, which was an event in Vegas... The five, not four, but the five of us went to. It stands for Premier Cigar Associations, and it is basically our trade show in our Mecca, and it happens once a year. So what I got here is PCA is a once-a-year event where most cigar manufacturers and gypsy brands post up, and we get to preview new products and special releases. Sadly, though, this event was for industry people only, and that was actually not a bad thing, I think. We had a great time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm used to it. We had a great time talking to brands and trying cigars for 4 days in Vegas with shop PCA members, PCA members, manufacturers. It was very informative and all around a great time was had by all. So strap in and hang on tight. We have a lot to go over today in this extended episode. But don't worry, if you miss anything, you can download the full episode from where?
Anywhere online, just say play podcast, Sip, Suds, and Smokes in any phone, and we're right there.
Boom. Now, just before we dive into the shallow end of the pool, remember, if you're a cigar newbie, fret not. We got you covered on our Cigar 101 episode, where all of this cigar speak will be decoded. Just search Sip, Suds, and Smokes Cigar 101, and that episode should pop right up and follow the link in our show notes. So
this
today,
is a complete waste of time.
Yeah, it was. You know. So today, well, good not, old boy Benjamin.
What, it was a good episode.
Yeah, it was a great episode, actually. Good old boy Benjamin is going to get the honors of reading our smokes ratings today.
Oh, I feel so fortunate and blessed.
Are you feeling lucky?
Well, do you? Huh?
Uh-oh.
We'll be smoking and discussing these cigars and rating them with the Sip, Suds, and Smokes rating. And they're a scale of 1 through 3, so... Rating number one is, this sucked even before it was lit. If it gets a 2, I would smoke this again.
There you go.
Not bad.
And the coup de grace, the rating number 3. Where are they? I need a box.
Well, there you go.
I could not have carried a box home of anything. My suitcase, all of our suitcases were so stuffed. We actually bought luggage to bring cigars back.
We couldn't
it was Christmas in July.
I couldn't have snuck a fart back.
Nah.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. So let's dive in. Today's episode is going to go a bit differently. I tasked all who went with us to PCA Trade Show to pick 4 cigars that they smoked and or stood out the most to them. And away we go.
All right.
Good old boy, Nate, you're up first. Take it away.
All right. So my 4, first off, just kind of glancing over, Freud Cigars, their Sigmund. It's a limited edition. This is the former master blender of Davidoff. This whole blend is undisclosed, but it was an incredible treat. It was expensive, but it is the whole 7 inches was perfect.
I had one somewhere. Couldn't find it.
Yeah. And then next, I also really enjoyed Plasencia's 151. Now, Plasencia's had their whole cosecha line that usually features tobacco from Honduras and Nicaragua together. The 151 is actually now a Honduran Puro. It's the brand new one that's coming out. I really loved it. It did not taste like all Honduran to me. It was like had very deep complexity, very deep richness to it.
Now, is that the one in the green octagon box?
No.
So which one was that?
This one, they had a black and yellow band on it for this year, but it's going to be black and gold because they're all that whole series has like metallic looking parts to the band. But
sure.
Yes, it was the black and gold one. So that was incredible. But I really want to talk in depth about the Cavalier Domaine Rouge.
What did you rate your Sigmund Freud and your Palencia?
Yes.
And I had both of those as well.
You did? Okay, yep. Cool. So,
yeah, what did you think of the Freud?
So the Freud to me was a 3. And if I had money, I sat back and enjoyed the whole thing. It is a $42 retail smoke, but I loved every minute of it.
Well, and I think that price point was the thing that kept on creeping in my head, you know, that they were like, oh, this is a $40 cigars. So it's amazing, you know, and they had a lot of their rollers, you know, right there at their booth playing dominoes. And it was really, you know, it was a very cool, you know, presentation. But I don't know. I think that there was just something that went off in my head when he said, this is a $40 cigar.
Yeah, no, and I totally
And I was
that.
Like, I don't know about this.
I remember watching you smoke it in the Rocky Patel booth when we were sitting there. And I swear he pulled a monocle out of his jacket.
It's a big cigar.
And asked me about my mother.
Yeah. I will say that the thing for me that was different about it was I'm so used to that typical Davidoff flavor, and so I expected something to come of the same from their former master blender, and it was just completely different than anything Davidoff's ever done.
That Davidoff's got that kind of like oaky, dusty, been sitting on a shelf for 10 years kind of taste to them.
So I smoked that Freud the other day. I've got $42 for that cigar all day long. It was big, oily. Like
wow,
this was.
I feel left out.
This was a smooth sip.
Yeah.
Of delicious smoke, 100%. I would definitely concur on the 3 there.
Mm. I think the Freud had a tough draw, but it was packed with a lot of flavor.
Can you do push-ups for your lungs, Justin?
Well, you know,
I need a stronger mouth.
I'm going to say
what she said.
I really think this was a $20 stick that was stuck in a $40 bag is what I thought at the end of the day. And I think that it was, I almost wanted him to leave the whole discussion of the price point out of it so that I could just let the cigar stand of its own and not let that value proposition kind of creep in, you know, to a lot of the, you know, preordained element of how good is a $42, you know, cigar going to be. So I think that's where I wound up going. I'm sorry, but I've had, you know, $15 sticks, you know, $10 sticks that I thought were twice as good, you know, as the Freud. So listen, I would say that it falls in that category. If you want to buy something special, it's a great gift cigar. You know, they're all Churchill, you know, size. I don't think they even offered them in anything
else. No, it's one size.
Yeah. So buy them for gifts. They're great, you know, bachelor party gifts or wedding gifts.
For your lawyers.
Yep, absolutely.
I guess I was going to say.
I'll take half.
I was going to say.
I'll take a third.
Yeah.
I was going to say that. For our, I guess I can't use that in our like $40 nut blind. Y'all know, we'll know exactly what that is when you see
it. That's if we have a $40.
Oh, come on.
Well, I guess I'm gonna summarize our smokes rating. Then it's gonna be,
yeah, we'll go with a three. On that.
It's gonna be a three, even though.
Good job, Freud.
Yep, I've said my piece. What I have about.
So your Placencia, what was your rating on that?
So that for me would be a two.
Wow. Really? So I smoked this as well. Yeah, and this was absolutely my favorite cigar out of all the cigars that I smoked, including the ones I picked. I thought this was really great. And on the other Placentias, you know, that we had earlier on a different episode, I did not like their filler in that particular cigar. Yeah. But I loved this. In fact, it had my highest rating, very high quality, nice burn line, feels great in the hand. It's very complex flavor, leather, wood, roast. I thought it actually paired very well with the cocktail that I've been making a lot of lately, which is the
I
last
bet there's gin in it.
It's the, yeah, it's the Kettle One Botanicals. It's the Kettle One Botanicals and Tonic.
One Grapefruit. Come on.
And rose.
I will say the only 151 I smoked was during one of the seminars that I think you guys had just came into. But so I will say that it wasn't in a moment like at home where I could have a cocktail and I loved it. I just think it wasn't fully there yet for me.
Hmm.
Well,
I think this is one of the only cigars that I didn't actually get to smoke at the show.
Yeah.
Was the 151, but I'm a Placencia fan that 146 and the 149 are something that are kind of go-tos for me anytime I'm in a humidor, kind of looking around, can't make up my mind. Those are definitely things
I like. Their white label up. The little Perfecto Torpedo,
yeah,
that little guy's great.
The original.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Placentia did a very good job with this one. It has a lot of flavor. It never went out on me.
I guess we're gonna have to give it a two because
that's all right.
Sounds good to
next,
me.
Next time, make us some cocktails. We'll bring that cigar, and then we'll make maybe the
cocktail elevated the cigar. I mean, that definitely could have happened. So
it's possible.
What else you got there, Nate? Real quick.
So I really want to talk most about the Cavalier Inner Circle Domaine Rouge. So Cavalier is a brand that originated out of Geneva, Switzerland.
He's wearing the Cavalier.
I know, yeah, I am wearing a shirt.
A sucker for branding. I know. Here.
It's a free shirt. But so basically, it is essentially a brand that is made up of a husband, wife, and a friend. This cigar is one that they have started making out of their own factory, and it is one of their first cigars to use a Honduran wrapper leaf.
And when we get back, we'll finish talking about it.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Yeah, so my favorite of the show was really the Domaine Rouge from Cavalier. And if you don't know anything about Cavalier, Cavalier is a brand that basically started originally out of Geneva, Switzerland, but then really got their notoriety for growing tobacco in Honduras. And so in the past couple of years, they've actually started their own factory with It was a husband and wife, and then their friend Brian. And honestly, they're just truly good people. So their new line that's come out in the past couple of years, Inner Circle, really just features what the specialty of their factory and what they can do. And so this one, Sebastian came out with in honor of his father, because his dad and him always loved wine and collecting wine. And so to me, it's a really unique cigar for them, though, because it actually uses...
this is part of their Inner Circle line, right?
Yeah, this is part of the Inner Circle line. So the Inner Circle is actually one of the only ones you won't find the gold diamond on. I know everybody's like, what's the gold diamond? It's edible gold leaf.
Yeah, I smoke the white. The white series, which has the gold on it, yeah. So I did not lick the diamond off.
Didn't you also smoke the first Inner Circle? Didn't I give you a blue one?
It's a blue.
No.
Okay, somebody did. Maybe it was you.
Was not me.
Maybe it was me. I smoked a few of them.
So basically, the cool part about this cigar is it's a lot of Honduran tobacco. So a Hamastron Valley Honduras wrapper leaf over a Connecticut seed Honduran grown binder. And then a Hamastron Valley and also Jalapa Nicaraguan filler. So it's got a lot going on, a lot of spice. But it just, to me, they're all about family and heritage. And this cigar really shows it. Great packaging.
I'll say I'm smoking this cigar right now as we talk. And it is freaking awesome.
Hmm.
My preferred size is the Figurado. Should they call it that? It's my opinion, it looks a little more torpedo-ish, but
yeah, I would just send it as a torpedo.
To me, this is a solid draw, great smoke.
Yeah,
it's the show stealer for me.
I'm definitely gonna give it a 3. Nate's holding up 3 fingers, so
there we go.
So I got a chance to talk to Sebastian in length at this booth at PCA. That dude is such a solid character, man. He was talking to me about his father and about everything and and I got to try a couple other of their brands, not brands, but a couple of their other lines. And then he handed me a Lancero, which is their event only cigar, and it's freaking, you know, Lanceros are my favorite. So
yeah, so I mean, the cool part about them is like, so when they first came out on the scene, it seems very prestigious, especially with the whole Switzerland vibe and the horse. It's got a horse and the gold diamond. And then you meet Sebastian and his wife, and they're covered in tattoos. He's bald, big old beard. Really looks like a black metal, you know.
He used to listen Swiss to black metal. We talked about black metal. So that was pretty cool. Yeah,
so it's like he's it's not what you expect, but he's really brilliant. They built a great brand. And Brian, who's a lifelong industry person who came on board with them in the factory, I mean, they're... Honestly, I think that this brand is one that you're going to see big things of in the future, and big things coming out of this factory. Yeah. They've already started making cigars for a lot of other brands as well.
That's another one of those brands where I wasn't really familiar. I've seen them obviously in the smokers humidor, but haven't picked them up yet. And then getting to actually meet Sebastian and listen to the passion literally just ooze out of him for the cigars that he makes. Definitely lit my fire, if you will, about checking out those smokes.
But yeah, so I am definitely looking forward to some good things out of Cavalier, and I am already a fan for sure.
Including this Cavalier Lancero.
Uh-oh.
How you feel about that, Mark? A little FOMO over there,
buddy? No, I got one in my hand right here, buddy, but I'm not smoking it. I can't smoke too. Well, I guess I could double fist.
Let's rate up the one that Nate just talked about.
We did. We rated it a 3. 3.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Where were you, Mike?
I was over here lighting the cigar.
Yeah, so yeah. Well, you just keep sitting over there and light your cigar.
And I guess, you know, even kind of just talking about my experience at PCA, so I will say the four of those guys had a little different experience than I did, because they were there media, more checking out the brands for the podcast. I was there with the retailer I work for, and this is like the 8th or 9th one I've been to. So we have a little different experiences, but
so it's he cool stayed that, in the slot machines, pulling the levers.
Yeah, but I went to bed earlier than I've ever done in a year. But
That's right.
I didn't win anything. But so for me, it was a busy year. Because to me, it's going to the booths, and it's not just, I don't get a chance to talk to the guys as much because for us, it's all about buying and deals and here's money. And so it's a little different. So for us, it's more on the spot. And you guys even probably came home with a lot more samples than I did, because for me, we got the same amount of cigars.
But you had to smoke them real quick.
But like, there's ones where there's certain brands where I got to light it up in the moment to be like, yes or no. And so.
So one of the things I want to just let people know is that this is not only is this the trade show of event, this is the mecca for buying cigars for stores. So they get their deals and bundles and all that stuff, that all the new releases that are coming out. So this is why this is a retailer event and it's not open to the public. Plus, you know, they take pride in having the legislation and having the lobbyists that are pushing for these cigar laws that we are fighting for.
Yeah, I had a lot of conversation with a lot of the retailers, you know, at the show and on a lot of topics. But, you know, part of that discussion that I had with many of them was, when you're here, you know, buying at the PCA show itself, are you buying the latest and greatest? Are you buying for the next quarter? Are you buying for, a whole year? And it was a very interesting, you know, response from several, you know, different retailers. I think probably the most common answer to that I heard was, a lot of them are there for the deals that are presented at PCA, and it is about sell, and, you know, moving, you know, a tremendous amount of volume. And I think that's true on both sides of the coin. I think the salespeople that are there are there specifically, you know, to move product. But
it was hard to get a conversation sometimes with some of the people, because it's like every 30 minutes, it's like, I'm selling this. I have a meeting.
That's the other thing is, like, for us, we set up a lot of our meetings. We had a whole schedule planned about a month in advance with our reps, because if you want, and there's certain brands, you know, like we had to be at Tatawahe's booth first thing because all their limiteds every year
will
sell out the first day. So even if your appointment's the next day, it doesn't matter. So that's why that's always our first stop is boom, get all the limiteds.
We got to talk to Pete for a little bit, and it was really informative talking to him. So being on the media side of that is a whole different experience. Yeah. We didn't schedule any appointments because we didn't know what to expect. Yeah. So we just kind of neandered around. And if we saw people standing around, we talked to them.
I didn't meander, but.
Well, you definitely meandered. I seen you walking.
I actually feel like I saw Mike like three times all weekend, but.
Pretty much. Yeah.
He was at the massage parlor.
Well,
him and Justin.
You know, so that discussion I thought was rather interesting because I really didn't hear. You know, a lot of people, you know, trying to add things new, a lot of new products, you know, into their stores. It was all about margin, you know?
Yeah.
And so I really wonder if that really is the best venue, you know, to introduce a new product, because I just think that the agenda at hand for both those salespeople and the retailers, I just don't know that a new product really can gain a lot of momentum.
I don't know if you guys actually got to see any of the sales sheets, and not giving too much insider
sales sheets.
Sales. Huh. So like, so the deals
the
and stuff.
Shells?
Yeah.
But a lot of that, so the way it works, and a lot of companies are smart with it, where you want the new product, you got to buy this package deal, or you got to buy this certain amount of core line. And so, but they also incorporate it in, and there probably is a good amount.
Like bundling with whiskey.
I was just going to jump in on that side of it too, right?
30 cases of Jack Daniels.
No, exactly right. You know, the only thing is apparently in the cigar industry,
sure, I'll take my three.
It is an accepted practice.
Three cases of vodka.
Right.
Normally, in the whiskey and the spirits world, it's technically kind of shunned.
Yeah.
Right. You're not supposed to do those type of things, but we know. You know, that you need that brand awareness
For the cigar industry, it's more looked at as, okay, you want the good stuff, you got to support us, you know, and that's more the thing is, if you don't, you know, because there's a lot of shops out there that will want, you know, it's like Liga Privada. People may not realize why not every shop has Liga, because you have to sell a certain amount of regular Drew Estate brands because they don't have enough just to hand it to everybody. So they'd be like, you have to be a good customer of ours. You have to support, and then boom.
And you have to sell the flavored ones.
Yep, you got to have a cabinet stocked.
Well, I didn't mean to drag us down this rabbit hole, but it was a really good discussion.
Well, that's what we're here for.
What other cigars did you want? Or does that cover the ones you...
He's got one more.
I got one more. Metepe, I think it's called. I've heard it said multiple times, but I keep forgetting.
Medipa.
But it is the new foundation, and I'm...
That's how Trump would say it.
Oh, it's Lord. A Medipa.
I'm a big fan of foundation and what Nick's doing.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Oh, my God.
My friends say I like it.
So, basically, he made this cigar in honor of a Nicaraguan poet. And the thing I like about Nick is he does a lot of things to the heritage of Nicaragua, or even he's connected to Ethiopia, and he's just got things where different heritages he tries to incorporate into cigar brands.
Yeah.
So this cigar was a Sumatra Ecuador. They actually have it in a Claro and Maduro. The samples were only Maduro at the show.
I think I got one, but I haven't smoked it yet. Yeah. I kind of interrupted one of their sales meetings.
Smoke
one morning.
Cigar,
I was just like, I was neandering around, and they was smoke like, "Oh, are you here?" And I'm it's like, fantastic. "No." He's like, "Well, we're having a sales meeting." I was like, "Okay, sorry, dude." But he was super nice after that. He was
they're good,
super
people.
Cool dude. They're solid. Yeah. I hope to have him on one of our chats episodes, along with Sebastian as well. Yeah.
So it is the binder is a Connecticut broadleaf, and the filler is Esteli and Jalapa Nicaraguan. The thing I love about Nick and most of his Connecticut tobacco that's in his cigars, a lot of people don't know, but his office is actually on an active cigar
farm
in Connecticut.
Oh, nice.
So he actually is from Connecticut. He's known as the King of Broadleaf, and he is... It's just cool because he literally grows a lot of his own tobacco and even sells a lot to other people right there in Connecticut.
Well, that's awesome. Well, what was your rating?
I give it a 3.
I will say there was a lot of bangers happening at this PCA event. A lot of good cigars were coming out, and I there was very few cigars that I smoked there that I didn't like. I'd say probably enough to count on one hand. But so what we're going to talk about is, Nate, what stood out to you the most at PCA?
This year for me, it felt a lot more organized than it usually does. Sometimes it's been different every year, I will say, but like...
I'm laughing because when you said organized, I immediately thought of the Caldwell booth.
Oh, well, so...
That's the best booth there.
And I don't know if you guys...
I'll talk about it a little bit later.
Robert, it was great. Well, I don't care what
It was funny.
I've got a story about last year's Caldwell booth for you then, to give a little context maybe to this year's if you didn't hear. But we'll get to that later. But it's all the different booths are interesting, and you have the prestigious brands that look all elegant and they're in suits. And then you have my buddy Jeremy with Wildfire, who pulled a camper in there.
That was awesome.
And you've got, I mean,
he was like, "Hey, what's up?"
Right. And you got Foundation blaring reggae. And that, I mean, it was very just eclectic. I will say this is still another year that a lot of the big brands haven't been there, and it's still a little peaceful, you know, without Drew Estate blaring hip hop all day. They're very loud booth.
Oh, I can imagine.
So it was chill, but you know, it's still, every year though, I end up lost and I'm running around the whole place and I always forget where
there
I'm
was
at.
A few brands not represented there. I didn't see any of the Fear. I saw Fear Otega, but I didn't see any.
Well, Davidoff.
So, I didn't see Camacho. I didn't
so
see
about 3 years Estates. Ago, those companies pulled out of PCA, which honestly really was able to, for a lot of the smaller brands to shine, you know, now people like Tatawahe and my father and stuff can sponsor PCA versus having the billion-dollar corporations.
Yeah,
it
was like Room 101s and some other places.
Yeah, that General's not there.
Yeah. None of the General line was there. That was interesting. I imagine they, but it had a big booth and set up.
And they normally do when they used to have it.
Yeah, they just had the Forged, that was the only brands that General had.
The interesting part, the only reason there was the Forged booth was because their acquisition of Alec Bradley. And Alec Bradley already had a registered booth. So
kind of
they were able to come in there and kind of reintroduce themselves back to PCA.
Well, that's good. So up next, we're going to go with good old boy Justin. Over in the FTL day, what's up?
Florida.
Florida Dale.
Hey.
How's the weather down there?
The weather, it's a middle of a thunderstorm.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Nice light show.
I just saw some lightning.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about what you had.
So I had the Puro Ambar made by Tacabalera Al Arista in the Dominican Republic. And it was earthy. It was well constructed, great flavor without.
What were the leaves in it?
So this one had Dominican Republic hybrid wrapper, binder, and filler. So it was an all DR event.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty good. I gave it 2 rings on this one. My favorite one of the 4 was the Cinco de Cinco, which